This is Ravening Wolves by Monica Farrell from 1949, Part 4. Bosanska Krajina. A long series of fearful crimes forms a prelude to the cruel murder of Bishop Platon and Prota, Archpriest Subotic. After bestial tortures, such as the pulling of beards and the building of fires on their chests, they were murdered and thrown into the Verbas River, which later on washed up their mutilated corpses. In Banja Luka, the Strozernik, Ustashi official, Dr. Viktor Gutich, harassed the town's folks fearfully. He has certainly distinguished himself as being one of the most bloodthirsty of all Ustashi, second to none but Eugen Kvaternik. Publicly, at gatherings, he would order the butchering of the Serbs, and would post rewards for all Serbian decapitated heads brought in. Mass murders, deportations to camps, plunder, arson, extortion, rape, and all possible crimes and atrocities mark the activities of Gutich in Banja Luka and in all Bosanska Krajina. There is one example of extraordinary savagery in Kladanj. There, over 100 Serbs were interned by the Ustashi in a small jail. Because of the heat, men dropped unconscious. They were there several days without food or water. What followed in the way of human misery, cruelty, and bestiality cannot be described in this report publicly. In Tuzla, the Ustashi drove nails into a large barrel, threw certain Serbian prisoners into it, and rolled it around while blood gushed out in streams. Deportations. On the nights of July 4th to July 5th, 1941, Ustashi patrols made the rounds of the Serbian homes in Zagreb. It was decreed that all families had to prepare to leave within a period of 10 minutes. It was especially emphasized that they take along their money and precious articles of value. Those families were transported by trucks to Zagreb Town Hall. There, all of their precious articles and money were taken away from them, with the exception of 500 dinars per person. In the course of the first night, there were about 200 families thus rounded up. Their houses were padlocked, but only after being looted by the Ustashi. Only the bare wooden walls remained. All of the loot was later sold at auction, and the proceeds pocketed by the Ustashi. The first party to be deported had the fortune of being taken directly by train across Bosnia and transported to Serbia. The following night, a new party was rounded up from the houses, and so it went until all of Zagreb was purged of Serbs. Only now it went much harder with the deportees. Instead of being sent directly to Serbia, some of the parties were sent to a concentration camp in Kaprag. There, they usually waited 2 or 3 weeks for trucks to carry them to Serbia. Their treatment was exceedingly cruel. Aimless forced labor, bad food, and bad sleeping quarters. Though, fortunately, there were no killings. In that camp, which operated until late 1942, Serbs, especially clergy, were brought from many parts of the independent Croatian state. From the remaining parts of the independent state of Croatia, The deportees were gathered together in the concentration camp of Slav, Poziga. There were abandoned army sheds there, which served their purpose to good advantage. Their treatment was much more brutal. Forced labor, worse food, and maltreatment every day. In one night, all of the deportees, 490 of them from Dobaj, were executed in the nearby woods. That action represents the acme of sadism and resulted in fearful looting. It should be known that before April 6, 1941, there were in Zagreb about 15,000 Serbs. Of these, 1,000 were independent merchants, and the remainder public and private employees and professional men representing the middle class. These forced deportations caused property, both real and personal, vast estates and valuables, to fall into the hands of the Ustashi. In these were included stores valued at more than $10 million. If all could be computed, the grand total value would be fabulous, counting the city of Zagreb only. But there were many other cities, towns, and villages similarly looted, robbed, and pillaged. As far as cash money is concerned, not much was gained. For the greater part, Serbian property was kept by the plunderers, but much of it was sold for a trifle, and the rest presented as gifts to certain Ustashi who had distinguished themselves. A great portion of the loot was swallowed up by specially appointed receivers, or commissioners, who took charge for liquidation purposes of enterprises belonging to the Serbs. The camps. Jasenovac. This was one of the most horrible places of tortures and executions. In Jasenovac arrived the remainder from the camps of Gospic and Koprivnica. While daily newer and newer groups arrived from all parts of the country. At first, the camps were established in three different places. One of them was in Jasenovac itself, in the brick factory of Osran Besic. The second was to the left of the highway leading to Novska, and the third was in the village of Krupje, 5 kilometers away. The commander of all these camps was an Ustashi officer, Lubarik, and the commander of the camp at Jasenovac was one Lubjo Milos, an Ustashi lieutenant, a native of Herzegovina. The Ustashi, Croats, and Muslims were from Herzegovina, though some came from the vicinity of Osijek. That which was seen and endured there by those rare fortunates who succeeded in saving themselves goes beyond any fantasy or imagination. The prisoners worked at horribly strenuous tasks at the hydroelectric plants, working at top speed beyond their strength from early dawn to late in the night. The food consisted of a boiled potato from time to time, or watery gruel. Beatings, clubbings, and tortures continued while death haunted every step. The Ustashi killed off the Serbs, both in groups and individually, day and night, using all possible means of murder and torture. Machine guns, rifles, revolvers, knives, axes, hammers were all used to destroy Serbian lives. In order to save on ammunition, the Ustashi would drag certain groups of Serbs to the fiery furnaces of the brick factory. There, they would stun each man, one by one, with a hammer and throw him alive into the roaring furnace. The first of the group would be shoved into the furnace from behind by his fellow sufferers, so that they could be thrown in instantly, and thus quickly meet their end. Others again were butchered along the beaches of the Sava River and thrown into the water. The most cruel and the most bloodthirsty of them was one Lubjo Milos. He himself has killed at least 3,000 Serbs. He slaughtered his victims with a knife and later licked their blood, jesting and crying out, "How sweet is the Serbian blood!" At the arrival of the various groups, this Milos would ask each person about his occupation. As soon as he ascertained that one was an intellectual or a city dweller, he would immediately murder him on the spot. Usually, the majority of the new prisoners would be killed at once on coming to the camp. There was a gang of grave diggers formed from tramps who spent the whole day only in collecting corpses and burying them naked, for they would strip them of their clothes and store them in a warehouse. With autumn came the cold and the floods. Since the area was beneath water level, the people were forced to sleep right in the water. Now they suffered even more because of the cold. New batches of prisoners arrived in unrelentless tempo. One group from Pakrac came on the Catholic Christmas Eve, about 100 of them, who had been beaten and tortured before their arrival there. At that time, a certain Ustashi begged Milos to give him a Serb for a Christmas present. Milos allowed him, with great magnanimity, to take his pick. To the lot of that Ustashi, whose name was Matkovich, fell a certain Joka Divjak, the owner of a restaurant in Lipik. Matkovich recalled that Divjak once, when his restaurant was crowded, could not offer him a seat. Therefore, Joka Divjak was chosen by Matkovich to be the bloody sacrifice. At midnight, two of the Ustashi felled the unfortunate victim to the ground. One sat on his head, tore open his coat and shirt, and began slowly to pare him with a knife in the chest. After half an hour, Matkovich tore the living heart out of Divjak. The others were forced to watch all this and even laugh, while the wretched Divjak endured such indescribable tortures. He who turned away his head from this horrible scene was immediately killed on the spot. There was another horrible means of torture called zika, meaning wire. It dealt with the barbed wire fenced area of some 10 square meters. At a height of a little more than a meter, the wires were thickly woven on top like a birdcage. Beneath, water was ankle deep. Therein were placed those who had committed some breach of discipline. For whole nights, those wretches had to squat in the water in that terrible cold, while by day they were forced to work. Dr. Otun Gravencic, Sokol leader from Zagreb, endured about 9 nights of this torture and finally died from exhaustion. Many others shared his fate, especially Serbian army officers who had been released from captivity by Germans to return to Croatia. The news of these bestial acts was heard abroad. In the month of February 1942, the rumor was spread that a certain international committee would come to Jasenovac. The authorities of this camp began to get busy to clean up the camp. there were a sort of barracks there, which served as a hospital, though without any doctors or medical equipment for patients whatsoever. All of the patients were killed. There was a new dispensary, built according to regulations, with all equipment and clean beds. Other barracks were fitted out as a mess hall, supplied with all the requirements. The remaining barracks were put into order in such a way that the camp assumed an exterior likeness of some home. The inmates received some imaginary numbers and orderly clothes, as well as better food, for the sake of appearance, before the commission, which was expected to arrive. In addition, they placed beds in the infirmary and put in them healthy men to play the part of recuperating patients. The commission finally came and went, satisfied with conditions. After that, everything reverted immediately to the same old order. There is no way to ascertain exact figures of the atrocities, for not one of the survivors could obtain a full view of the acts and the number of men who came there, never to leave again. It is estimated by conservative calculations that nearly 40,000 Serbs found their death in Jasenovac. The Memorandum of the Serbian Orthodox Church, presented to General Dankelman, Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces in Serbia, in August 1941. Excellency, the distressing news which we are daily receiving of the atrocities committed upon the unprotected Serbian population in the Croatian state in general, and especially in the Serbian provinces Lika, Srem, Bosnia and Herzegovina, compels us to call these crimes to the attention of Your Excellency as the representative of the German army in occupied Serbia, as a representative of the German people, and as a human being. From the very beginning of the creation of the Croatian state, the persecution of the Serbian people, tortures, murders, and robberies have been recorded, though somewhat to a lesser degree, while the German troops were stationed in different parts of Croatia. And while the commanders of German garrisons, as soldiers and as human beings, were attempting to hold off and subdue the animal instincts of the Croatian rulers and their accomplices, even in spite of this, there were perpetrated a number of crimes, the nature of which is the reflection of an absolutely merciless and sadistic temperament. People were murdered in the most ruthless manner after extremely cruel tortures, such as the gouging out of their eyes, the cutting off of their ears, noses, and sex organs, or crucifying them on the door frames of their homes, and torturing them by all kinds of unspeakable methods, which could have been invented only through insanity or savagery. The Croatian ministers, Dr. Mile Budak, Dr. Milovan Zanic, Dr. Mirko Puk, and Dr. Viktor Gutic were in reality trying to outdo each other in inciting their fellow Croats against the Serbs, and in awakening the Croatian sadists, their animal instincts. These ministers have publicly declared that they would cause the murder of one-third of the Serbian population, that one-third of it they would expel from Croatia, and the remaining third they would convert to Catholicism, and in this manner liquidate over 2 million Serbs in the Croatian state. These declarations of the above Croatian ministers were carried out in deeds, and the Serbs were forced into concentration camps en masse. Some of them were expelled from the territory of the Croatian state, and ruthless murders of Serbian men, women, and children were begun. The Serbian clergy and their families were forcibly carried away from their homes and exterminated. The Serbian churches and monasteries were razed and burned. The records kept by church institutions were confiscated and delivered to Catholic priests. The Serbs were coerced to abandon their Orthodox faith and to embrace Catholicism. In all these crimes, it is to be regretted, the Catholic priesthood participated also. Excellency, the Serbian people, who have for centuries defended the honor of their name and endured the most terrific tortures, or have died for their holy faith, could not have remained passive in view of these atrocities, but were compelled, though totally unarmed, to rise in defense, not only of their own lives, but also of the lives of their dearest ones, as well as in defense of their faith and their property. This justified and necessary defense on the part of the Serbian people, which has spread in Herzegovina, Bosnia, and Lika, the Croatian rulers now proclaim to be a communist movement, and they desire, by such a lie, to justify before the civilized world their inhuman atrocities, and especially before the German people, who have begun to register their disapproval of such conduct and crimes. The Serbian people are deeply religious and nationally conscious, and have proven both their religious feelings and national-mindedness in century-long struggles up to this day. The Serbian people are, in great majority, some 90%, agriculturalists with patriarchal traits, and therefore never have had, and have not now, anything in common with communism or the ideas of the industrial proletariat. It is therefore a most deliberate misstatement to characterize this defense by the Serbian people against the atrocious attacks of the Ustashi as a communist movement among Serbs. Tortures. In addition to the tortures to which all of the Serbs were subjected, because cases are rare where murders were committed without preceding tortures and mistreatments, ruthless beatings, and dismemberment of parts of the body, the gouging of eyes, or the breaking of arms and limbs and the like, we will refer to a few characteristic cases. In Petrovo Selo, where the peasants of Brodsky Slatnik were murdered, as described in paragraph 38 herein, the victims were brutally tortured before being murdered. These unfortunates' arms were broken, they were pelted with bricks, and while in agonizing pain from such terrific mutilation, they were killed by dum-dum bullets. There were instances where some victims were smeared with feces, while other victims were forced, at the point of a gun, to lick their bodies. The crushing of victims' heads with iron bars, or beating victims into insensibility with sacks filled with stones, were other methods used. Peasant Popovich suffered twisting of the testicles. In the Nova Gradiska jail, one Mirko Trinic, a resident of the same town, was flogged and died from the beating. Just before he died, he told another victim, who has since escaped to safety, that every night between the hours of 11 and 12, a group of Croats were permitted to enter the jail, and that the chief jailer, Koran, would turn his flashlight upon one of the victims, who would then be jumped upon by these sadists and dragged away to a separate cell where they would beat him with sacks of stones. This man, Trinich, was especially strong, and upon offering resistance, about 16 Ustashi converged upon him and beat him so that there was no part of his body that remained uninjured. He reported that in this manner Protich, a cafe owner, a peasant by the name of Gavro Kovacevich, and another young man were killed. In the same manner, Dr. Galski, an attorney, was tortured and murdered. In the Osek Garrison Jail, by order of the Ustashi, Matij Kovic, a former laborer in a tannery, the arrested Serbs were tortured in the following manner. Needles were stuck beneath their nails, and they were tied to benches and beaten with wooden sticks. While they were so tied, their legs were forced apart, causing them to suffer agonizing pains. Others were compelled to spit on the Serbian flag and ordered to tear it up with their teeth and eat it. While the victims were doing this, they were receiving blows upon their heads and bodies. The unfortunates were forced also to tramp barefooted over barbed wire stretched over a board. Upon the heads of some of the victims, they placed a crown of thorns, thereafter pressing the thorns into their heads, causing them to bleed profusely. They were given food on very rare occasions, and water upon still rarer occasions. Some of the victims, by reason of such treatment, became blind and began to faint, after which they were given 200 grams of bread. The food which some of them would receive from their homes, the Ustashi ate themselves. The clergy were forced to clean latrines with their hands, and refuse was thrown in their faces. In the vicinity of Grekak, Dr. Velko Torbica, a physician, was murdered. The Ustashi made deep knife gashes in his chest and thrust salt into these wounds. While suturing the wounds, they asked the victim, "Doctor, was the operation successful?" Milos Teslic, an industrialist of Sisak, was tortured in an especially beastly manner. The river Sava threw up his corpse with gouged eyes, a horribly mutilated face, and his body and chest cut wide open. Several Ustashi, with smiles on their faces, photographed themselves standing around the body of their victim. At Bosenska Kostajnica, the victims were crucified alive by being nailed hands and feet upon the doors of their homes, and after brutal tortures were knifed to death. In the village of Otosi by Krupa, the wife of Stojan Stopar and his two daughters were raped, murdered, and then thrown into the river. There were also instances of the burial of live victims, which was admitted by several Croats. At Banja Luka, Nikola Kursija, a merchant, was murdered in a most gruesome manner. Having been first subjected to unspeakable tortures, his eyes were gouged, his sex organ cut off, his arms and limbs dismembered, and then he was clubbed and stoned to death. And this concludes part 4 of Ravening Wolves by Monica Farrell from 1949.